This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, all experiencing outages today. Now, the company has not explained the outages, but they come less than 24 hours after a whistleblower took her identity public on 60 Minutes. Frances Haugen turned over thousands of pages of internal documents to the federal government, claiming they show the company has hidden the damaging effect of their algorithms, that effect has on everything from global politics to the Capitol insurrection to the mental health of teenage girls who use Instagram. Congress resumes hearings over the leaked documents tomorrow. It was the Wall Street Journal originally reporting their content. Now, to put it in perspective, the Pew Research Center says 72% of teenagers use Instagram, and we know that at least a dozen New Englanders have been arrested for participating on January 6th. Now, joining us, Hiawatha Bray, technology reporter at the Boston Globe, to help us make some sense of this. Hiawatha, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Well, thanks for having me, and good luck making sense of this.
Yeah. That's your job, Hiawatha. Maybe you can start by just summarizing what the whistleblower is saying.
Well, the whistleblower, it's not as spectacular as what came out in the 1990s about the tobacco industry, but it really is very similar to that. We found out, what had long been suspected, that internally the tobacco industry had known for decades that cigarettes were deadly. Now we find out that, at least not decades, for years, Facebook's only 17 years old, their internal research shows that they know perfectly well that a lot of their business policies are having negative effects on people, including the self-esteem of teenage girls, that it tends to encourage people to take positions that are increasingly radical and more angry as they spend more and more time using Facebook. They've seen ways in which Facebook has helped to make it harder to get people to get vaccinated because it does such an efficient job of spreading misinformation about the vaccines.
So on.
All of this proves that this is happening and that Facebook knows it.
I'm really struck by you comparing it to big tobacco, Hiawatha. I mean, if that's what we're at here, this is explosive.
Well, it is explosive. Not in the same sense, because big tobacco literally killed millions of people. Facebook has done nothing like that. But what it's saying is they know. They know it's that risky. And they've just basically been trying to downplay it while all the time knowing how bad it is. And that's really disturbing. And here's the really clever thing. The whistleblower is giving this information to the Securities and Exchange Commission. Ooh, the fiendish cunning here. Her argument and the argument of her attorneys is going to be this. They are keeping secret information that is of material importance to people who invest in Facebook. And so they have been concealing information that could have a serious effect on the financial value of the company. That's a really clever approach, and it's really going to cause Facebook some nightmares.
Okay, so a couple of pieces in what you just said that I want to pull apart. You said, you know, Facebook is not killing people. Big tobacco did. The mental health accusations against teenage girls, for example, on Instagram could lead to increased potential for suicidal ideation, self-harm, et cetera. The January 6th insurrection, and the whistleblower says that Facebook was one of the areas, you know, one of the platforms where there was organizing done, led to a number of arrests and some deaths. So how to put that piece in perspective?
Well, I don't know how to put it in perspective in the sense that I don't think you're going to have Facebook accused of directly killing anybody. I don't think they have. The problem is that they have unleashed, if you will, a monster. This is really a sort of a Frankenstein story in which they have unleashed without meaning to. I can't emphasize this strongly enough. I don't think there's any reason to believe that Facebook wants any of this to be happening. I don't believe it for a second. The problem is they came up with a way to promote what they were doing on Facebook that is designed to keep people coming back and therefore to help them sell more and more advertising. And only now are they grappling with the immense social implications of doing things that way. Nobody has ever done anything like this before, and we're finding out just how dangerous it can be.
So explain this algorithm piece a little bit. Haugen says, you know, their algorithms are designed to drive up engagement because that's how they make money. And that means stuff that is more divisive, more titillating, more, outrageous. Talk about how that works a little.
Well, it's human nature as far as I can tell. I mean, you know, in an ideal world, butterflies and fairies would make people more inclined to engage with the content on Facebook. But they themselves found through their own research that stuff that is more divisive and more inclined to incite anger seems to draw more eyeballs. And they found that out partly when they changed their algorithm back in 2018. Apparently, the changes they made, which they said were genuinely intended to make Facebook more useful and more user-friendly had the effect of encouraging the constant reinforcing of negative emotions. And there was this report, was it a foreign politician, a foreign political group, who contacted them and said, you guys, because of the way you change the algorithm, are forcing us to do more negative campaigning in order to get our Facebook stuff more views, because that's what people look at. You're constantly hyping up the more negative stuff, and we have to provide that, or our opponents will. So you're making it harder for us to have a positive message just because of the way your algorithm analyzes our ads.
So Hiawatha, there's been a lot of emphasis on this change to the way they approach their algorithms in 2018. I'm back at the Instagram piece where their research suggested that teenage girls participating in Instagram experience some tough mental health outcomes as a result of that. And I'm thinking back to the fact that Facebook was founded in a Harvard dormitory on hot or not, right?
Yeah.
Which was rating the attractiveness of female classmates. That doesn't feel like you have to take a turn at 2018 to get from there to Instagram.
Well, yeah, but in all fairness, I don't know that after all those years at and remember, they didn't start Instagram; they bought Instagram. So I don't know if you can say that going way back to hot or not is in the DNA of what they are doing today. But certainly, sooner or later, they would have found out that this is the kind of thing that attracts viewers. And wasn't there one thing in there where they found that girls who felt bad about their appearance actually ended up going back to Instagram more often?
Yes.
So that was one of the most stunning moments in all of this, where they're basically saying, hey, wait a minute, I feel terrible. Instagram makes me feel worse. I'm going to go spend more time on Instagram.
So
how could anybody have predicted that? In all fairness to Facebook, it's hard to know how they could have predicted this. But now that they know it, what are they going to do about it?
Yeah, that seems to be the question, Hiawatha. I'm thinking, you know, post-Enron, we have this explosion of corporate social responsibility. I have heard arguments in the last 24 hours, hey, they're a business, they're supposed to maximize profits. But we expect more from businesses now, right? So what should we expect from a business that has this kind of thing exposed?
Well, you know, it's sort of weird because I don't know that there's any easy answer. The fundamental thing that they're doing, the use of these algorithms, is not automatically a bad thing. It's the way humans interact with these algorithms that are causing problems. Are they supposed to stop doing algorithms altogether? And 'cause here's the thing we forget about this. Once upon a time, when you went to a blog or like a bulletin board back in the ancient dark ages of the Internet, you went looking for what you wanted to find. It's relatively new to have these services like Facebook that say, you know what, we're going to find it for you and keep giving you more and more and more and more stuff. One argument that I've heard, and I think this might be the only thing the government could do that might have an effect, is that you know about Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, right?
Well, I'm sure most of our listeners don't. Why don't you go ahead and explain it?
Oh, boy, it gets too complicated. Basically, it protects a company. An Internet company can't be held liable for what other people post on their site. So if you post something stupid on Facebook, Facebook can't be sued for it. Well, that worked great back in the days when a website was just somebody came along and they posted something and only people who went looking for it would ever see it. One argument that some people have made is that that particular law should not apply to any Internet service that uses algorithms to constantly push more and more and more information at readers. So that if you find out that somebody really likes reading stuff that's very violent and you keep sending them more and more and more violent stuff, you wouldn't be protected by Section 230. You could be sued for example, inciting violence. Facebook, for example, could be sued for inciting violence. They could be sued for defamation based on what other people posted on Facebook because Facebook itself keeps sending people more and more
content
of the same
stuff.
Yep. That's one argument. And that's the only one I've heard, because every other aspect of regulation that I've heard would put the government in the business of telling these companies what they can and can't say. And we can't have that.
So before
that would violate the First Amendment.
Before,
we can't do that.
Before I lose you, I do want to pivot for a minute and talk about the outage today. What do we know? And is it possible they
nothing.
Did this on purpose?
I hate to admit this. I only just noticed it. I had my head down writing about Facebook, and I looked up and I said, where's Facebook? So I went and checked Down Detector. They are down, and I don't think anybody yet knows why. It's a bizarre coincidence, if it is a coincidence. It's hard to believe it's anything like a deliberate attack, because Facebook has so many resources that how much of it would you have to take down before it would disappear completely? This is a mess.
Yeah,
and I have no idea what's causing it, and I'll just have to look into it.
Yeah, NPR was reporting earlier this afternoon that the DSN lines, the things that essentially point to Facebook, have just disappeared.
DNS, right.
DNS.
That makes a lot of sense. But you would think that Facebook would have multiple DNS servers that would allow people to get at it from a number of different directions. This is huge. I mean, it really is. To take down Facebook for any extended period of time is amazing.
Is it possible that the company took it down, Hiawatha?
I can't imagine why. Why would they? How would that benefit them? How would it help? It only undermines people's trust in Facebook.
What about hashtag delete Facebook, trending over the last 24 hours?
Yeah, that's been around for a while, but what's that got to do with it? I mean, people hashtagging stuff, I don't know. That happens all the time.
And how about the effect on their stock?
I actually haven't looked at their stock. Have you? I mean, I haven't checked it.
It has gone down. But although after me seeing DSN, we're not going to pretend I know what I'm talking about on stocks.
The entire market plunged like 1% today. Was it Facebook taking it down? I'm not sure. No, I don't want to comment about the outage because I literally do not know what's going on. But you're right. Once we find out, the answer is going to be extremely interesting. And if it is DNS, that just goes. We've had a number of DNS attacks in the recent past, and that's very worrisome because DNS is basically the address book for the entire Internet. And if people are subverting DNS, they can do a whole lot of damage.
All right. That is Hiawatha Brea, technology reporter from the Boston Globe. And Hiawatha, Jamie tells me in my ear, Facebook's down 5% today. Hey,
there
I know you,
you
came to us last minute on this. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.